So yes, we are definitely excited for Brian and September 22nd, a time to celebrate something he's been working very hard for quite a long time, and we hope you'll come and be a part of that. When God says go, in your bulletins, page 5 is the scripture text, place for notes. Hear the word of the Lord this morning. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias, and the Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. And the Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm that he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. And placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. And he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. This is the word of the Lord. In elaborating what was said to the children this morning, if you were to look at your own life, and to look at moments in when you really felt like God was leading you, you felt like God was speaking to you, you felt like God was orchestrating events for a particular outcome or a particular trajectory that you were meant to follow. How many times when that happened did you say to the Lord, "Yeah, I thought of that first"? Or, "Yeah, that's exactly what my dream was all along." Or, "At least you didn't give me a tough task. Thank you for being easy on me." Does anybody have that experience? Because I would like to talk to you after the service and just see what you prayed. No, in fact, more often than not, when you know what the right thing to do is, when you know what you're being led to do, you probably have found yourself with your head in your hands saying, "How do I do this? Or did I hear this right? Or is this really what this is going to look like?" Today's text is on the heels of what was called the Damascus Road experience for the Apostle Paul. It's a text that is jumped over pretty quickly in order for us to kind of get to Paul's amazing career, in which he engaged in 3 long missionary journeys. He planted churches throughout the Mediterranean region. He who himself was known in a variety of ways. Powerful speeches. The book of the Acts of the Apostles is a tremendous book of the early church flourishing in the midst of persecution. And what happens on this Damascus Road experience is that a man named Saul was on his way to go round up more Christians and throw them into prison. He had previously, chapter 7, approved of the stoning of one of the early church members named Stephen, which means that this was a guy who came in religious name, came with religious purposes in order to stamp out the Christian movement. And he was on this way, on the Damascus Road. A bright light knocked him off his horse, blinded him with the word saying, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Which is itself an amazing text when you think about it. That this guy who was eliminating Christians, God says, "Enough. I'm done." And yet doesn't do what we think he should do. The just thing for his behavior should have been not only the strike and the blinding of lightning, but also the dismantling of his life. Embarrassingly so, maybe. Or maybe just taking his life from him for all of the evil that he had engaged in. At least that would be our solution to the problem, don't you think? But God has different plans. And he lets Saul kind of exist in this state of blindness for days. And then, in a vision, to a follower of Jesus named Ananias, not to be confused with, there's two other Ananiases in Acts. One is one who dies in chapter 5. Interesting text. He was a liar and a cheat. And then in chapter, towards the end of the book of Acts, Ananias was a chief priest in the temple who's not all excited about Christians. This is a different one. This is Ananias, who was a follower of Jesus, and clearly someone who could hear the name of the Lord. He says, "Ananias," in which Ananias answered, "Yes, Lord." Another translation says, "Here I am." Exactly what Samuel will say in 1 Samuel. And the Lord tells him in this vision, "Okay, you're going to go to a house, this particular house. You're going to ask for a man named Saul. He's from Tarsus, so we don't confuse it with other Sauls. And he's praying, and he's in this vision, he is seeing what you're going to do. And you're going to place your hands on him and restore his sight." To which Ananias says, "Lord, point of concern." Really? Saul was known at this time. They knew what he was doing. They were in hiding from him. And Ananias was well aware of this and said, "Really? He has come here with authority to arrest anybody who gets in his way, with the authority of the religious leaders who had the authority to arrest." It's, in other words, a warrant. Ananias is right to be concerned here. Ananias is definitely right to be saying, "You want me to go, in essence, turn myself in. You want me to go roll the dice based on a vision and present myself to a man who stood there and nodded approvingly when Stephen got taken out." To which God says, "Yeah, I do." The word is go. It's used twice here. "This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." The interesting thing here is that Ananias, after his initial argument, does exactly what he's called to do. And unlike other texts in Scripture where sometimes the call of God comes to a person and then they go do the thing they're called to do, but embellish the story or add things to it that get themselves in trouble. Moses does this very thing. Abraham does this very thing. They don't stick to the script. They add what they think should be added to the call of God. Ananias does not do this. And in fact, Paul, when he's speaking to a crowd in Jerusalem right before he's going to be sent to Rome at the end of the book of Acts, he gives a speech and he gives a narrative on what happened that day, and he describes the integrity with which Ananias came to him. He describes the bright light that flashed from heaven. He described the blindness that came upon him. And the Lord says, "Get up, go into Damascus, and there you will be told all that you have been assigned to do." And so he went. Then Paul tells this entire crowd, "A man named Ananias came to see me. He was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. And he stood beside me and said, 'Brother Saul, receive your sight.' And at that very moment, I was able to see him. And then he said, 'The God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth. And you will be his witness to all people of what you have seen and heard. And now what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, wash your sins away, calling on his name.'" Ananias was faithful. Ananias went to do the impossible, to go and to speak the truth to a mortal enemy. I can't stress that enough here. This was not like someone who rubs you the wrong way. This is someone who is simply looking for your destruction, and you go and you speak to him only because the Lord has said so. Things that I love about this text is that first, you have someone who, in the midst of prayer, listens. Too often, more than not, we, in the midst of our own prayers, are really good at talking, which is an important piece of it. But another piece of prayer is listening. Because when we talk too much, we, in essence, get to the point where we're simply trying to ask God to endorse our ideas, rather than submitting to what it is that he might have for us. Ananias, someone who was versed in prayer, and not because he was more spiritual than anyone else, but prayer was important enough to him that he was willing to listen to God and say, "Okay, yes, Lord, I'm yours." Then the fact that he goes is remarkable. Well, actually, let's back up one thing. I like that the argument with God is okay. You get what I'm saying on that? Quite often in the midst of faith, we don't think this argument with God is allowable, do we? And yet, we know we're arguing with him all along the way. This is just the way faith works. When you are butting up one person's will to another, what usually happens? There is a struggle. And the Lord is not at all put off by the debate. I was quite serious with the kids. Exodus 3 and 4 into 5. Moses arguing with God over and over and over again. He brought up every excuse in the book. God was patient. I think in the midst of not only being willing to listen to what God might be saying to us, we should have the confidence to struggle with him and to really lay it out, to present our own understanding, to present our logic and to see how it stacks up. And usually, our logic will be defied by something far greater, a will of the Lord through which all things are possible. I like
the fact that he can argue with God. And yet, God wins. God doesn't say, "You're right, I haven't thought about that before. Yeah, Saul's a bad dude. Yeah, that might have some risks involved for it." He's always thought it through. And he not only says, "Go, be obedient," but he gives him a reason for why you're going to go. He says, "I have a plan here. Here's my plan. This very person who is killing people left and right, who is rounding people up, throwing them in prison, who himself is on a holy war, I'm going to turn him around completely." And I'm going to do something mighty in and through him. And one of the reasons that Paul is so unbelievably successful in his missionary journeys is because he was laid low by God. He knew who he was. He knew he didn't deserve to be called by God. He knew he was, as he calls him, the chief of sinners. That wasn't just a line to say, I'm a bad dude. I need the grace of Jesus Christ. He actually lived it. And God took this person who was laid low and did something mighty in and through him, but this unfolded in a way that we miss in this remarkable scene of the obedience of someone listening to God. Because his timing is perfect. If Ananias had the wild hair to go evangelize Paul a day earlier, it would not have gone well. And if Ananias had sat on his hands and said, "Okay, I'm going to wait till I garner up the strength to go do this visit," who knows what would have happened? At what point would Paul begin to be thinking, "Boy, everything I've just experienced is just some random thing. Maybe he just got hit by lightning. Go back to his old ways." No, it was on this day that he was called to go. It was in this way that he was called to go. It was to this place that he was called to go. And it was to this person he was called to speak. And the only thing that he was allowed to speak was not, "Who the heck are you? Why are you persecuting my friends? I don't like what you did to Stephen. I think that you should be in chains and in stocks for a good month or more." That would feel good, right? No, he's going to say one simple thing. "Jesus sent me here so that you can proclaim my name to the Gentiles. And in so doing, the blindness went away." Friends, there's nothing here that is beyond what is ordinary in Scripture. God speaks to his people when they pray. He asks them to listen to his word before our own. He sometimes will give a very clear and distinct vision. Sometimes he will impress upon the mind the name of someone that he wants you to pay attention to. Sometimes he will impress upon your heart the desire to let go of something or to forgive. Sometimes he will impress upon your will the need to go and to make amends and to cut out the cancerous hole within us that's eating us alive by trying to make reconciliation unfold in the midst of truth and grace. Sometimes he is doing this very thing to go speak to one's enemy in order to see what they might be able to do for Christ. God never calls us to do things that we say, that's easy and that was my idea. He calls us to greater things than that because he has greater things in mind, greater things for us, greater things for his church, greater things for the world. But it takes someone who is willing to listen, willing to say, here I am, Lord, send me. It takes someone who has faith enough to argue with God and to say, I'm going to struggle with you on this one. Here's what I'm saying. I'll hear from you again. This is what prayer is. It is speaking and it is listening. And then at times, we are called to do the very thing that seems the least logical of all. Say, okay, I'm going to do that. I don't like it. I don't agree with it. It doesn't make sense to me at all. But I know that what you call us to do will never be contrary to your word, and it will be for good, not for evil. It's kind of amazing that you have a man who's only mentioned once in the gospel, in Scripture. It's here in terms of his narrative. Chapter 9, just a faithful guy, not a big player in the church, not massive gifts, not someone who simply planted churches left and right. He wasn't a big cheese in the Jerusalem church movement. He just simply was a faithful guy who heard from God and went and did something that led to the changing of the world. I love that. We remember Paul quite a bit. We should remember Ananias. Because when God said go, he went. And cycling back around to the sermon that Paul gives in Jerusalem, after he described what Ananias did, he gives a speech, and then he talked about the death of Stephen, interestingly. But then he said what the Lord said to him after Ananias spoke to him. The Lord said, go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles. And the crowd erupted in anger. Rid the earth of him, he's not fit to live, is what they said. Because the gospel wasn't supposed to go. God wasn't supposed to go to the filthy Gentiles. And yet Paul was faithful and went and spread the word of Jesus Christ to the known world at the time, for which we are here now, beneficiaries of that. God came to Ananias and said, go. Paul was converted, and then the Lord said to Paul, go. And here we are now reading these words 2,000 years later, and the words are the same. In prayer, listen to God, wrestle with God, but at the end of the day, you're going to have to make a choice. Are you going to go, or are you going to stand still? He wants you to go. What is he calling you to do is your prayer. Let's pray.